at the ma'avar between Chumash Bereishis and Chumash Shemos, and there's a lot to say about that. Just want to get in from a maybe an oblique angle on that. There's actually a topic that bridges both Vayichi and Shemos. It shows up Vayichi in one sense, in the Agada about Vayichi in one sense. It shows up in the Halacha in Shemos in a different sense. We'll just talk about it for a couple of minutes and share a kernel of an idea. If we had more time, we could expand more. But Baruch Hashem, you're sitting in Yeshiva, maybe being a star, you could see if this idea becomes fruitful in your minds. There's a famous Gemara Pesachim, a famous Agadat Pesachim that has to do with this week's Parsha, and that relates one of the most common daily minhagi Yisrael that we have to Parshas Vayechi to Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara describes that Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed is to the end was incredibly anxious about what was in a certain sense his unique legacy to the world, his unique legacy to Jewish history and to cosmic spiritual history. And that is the fact, as the Sefer Kuzari describes, Yaakov Avinu was meant to be that transitional figure, that pivot figure, that inflection point, was going to, up until the point of Yaakov Avinu, the school Elokis, the divine spark, that the greater sense of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Adam Rishon had, being Yetzir Kapash HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had gone one-to-one. Someone, a person who had this school Elokis would pass it perhaps to one child, perhaps to a grandchild, so it traveled down the line. It's not clear whether everyone on the line of genealogy, Adam Shais, and so forth, everyone had it, but certainly it was traveling down that track. Noach has it, clearly Shem has it, Avra has it, Avram has it, but it only goes to Yitzchak. Yitzchak has it, it only goes to Yaakov. Yaakov, we've heard this language if you've been following the words of Chazal quoted in Rashi the last couple of parashas. Yaakov has been thinking a lot about Mitas Toshlema, about is his bed going to be complete, meaning will all of his children follow his ways. That was not only, it certainly was the desire of every father as a parent, but there was something beyond the personal here. And the Sefer Kuzri writes, Yaakov is going to be that point of inflection where all of a sudden, the way the school Elokis, the way spirituality would be conveyed, would no longer be just one-to-one, but if you have it, then your family, then all your children have it. And as the Kuzri writes, this is an absolutely critical prerequisite, a necessary ingredient for creating an Am Hashem. You can't have a people that are built around greater connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu without the assumption, without that dynamic of you pass it on to all your kids. So Yaakov was, this was, as Ramban writes in the Sefer, gracious the Sefer HaYetzira, so part of the creative process of creating Am Hashem was laying that down. You have the three Avos, and then you have the movement from Avos into families that can also become Am Hashem. And Yaakov apparently is aware of this, and that's why we've seen throughout the last couple of parashas. He's always wondering, will all my children survive physically? Will all my children remain connected to me spiritually? The Gemara Pesachim points to a discontinuity in the parsha, in this week's parsha, which speaks to that. He gathers his children around him to tell them about Achris Hayamim, to tell them about Mashiach, and then it never comes. And he gathers them to tell them about Mashiach, and then he gives them brachas instead. How do you understand that? There are a couple of different ways to understand that. Gemara Pesachim says he didn't tell them. He gathered them to tell them Mashiach, and then doesn't. Because nostalgia and Ruach HaKodesh, all of a sudden, it gets snapped away. The knowledge, Ruach HaKodesh, that he wanted to share with them, about Bias and Mashiach, it gets taken away as his children are gathering. And he misunderstands, that's because there's someone in the room who doesn't belong. He misunderstands, he's apprehensive, that one of my children is not connected, one of my children is not a mamon, so I'm not allowed, Min HaShemayim, to share it. They reassure him, no, Abba, it's okay, Shema Yisrael, as in Yaakov Avinu, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we all subscribe to Emunah, we're all on board with you. He says, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Apparently, it is Mitas Yishleima, Baruch Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want this information to be shared. And in retrospect, 4,000 years later, we understand it would have been incredibly, now that we know how long the Galus has been, how long it will have been, from then to Mashiach, we understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought it was better that information not be shared. It would have created a lot of despair. That conversation, which was a family conversation and a cosmic conversation. Shema Yisrael, Abba, or Mitascha Shleima, Baruch Hashem, or more fully, Baruch Hashem, Kol Malchuso Avod. But that's the prototype for the way we say Shema every single day. That's why if you learn Parshas Vaschanan, you notice that Baruch Hashem, Kol Malchuso is not a pasuk in that parsha. It goes from Shema Yisrael to V'ahavta. So where did that line come from? So one explanation is offered by the Gemara Masechta, and that is that in the course of Kriyat Shema, we have the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema to speak about Emunah, to remind ourselves of our obligations and our opportunities as Ma'aminim, to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avas Hashem, V'ahavta Hashem Kacha, to express that in a variety of mitzvahs. So that in the course of that mitzvah of Shema, of Kriyat Shema, we also have an opportunity to touch back every single day, twice a day, to that, or perhaps four times a day, back to that conversation between Yaakov and his children. So that's one piece that's going on. But then that's what I said. On the one hand, it connects to Agada and Vayechi. Here's something to think about. It may also connect halachically to next week's parsha. Next week, Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe Rabbeinu. And although it looks like Shmos doesn't have a lot of halachas in it, is actually, it relates to a halacha that is arguably the sif in Shulchan Aruch that comes up more frequently in our lives than any other. I think that's probably the case. Aruch Chaim Siman Hei. There's only one sif. Aruch Chaim Siman Hei, called Sif Aleph if you like, is a din that, were we to follow it, would apply to us at least several hundred times a day, probably several thousand times a day. And that's the din that a Jew is supposed to be intentional about saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Okay, we should be intentional people in general. We ought to be thoughtful, actively contemplative people in general. But specifically in Siman Hey, it says, a Jew says HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, so you should be thinking about what that means. Not deep Kabbalah. This is straightforward on the page of Shulchan Aruch. And they talk, as Shulchan Aruch talks about two different kavanos having to say Shem Hashem. The way you pronounce it and the way it's written. Aleph Dal Nun Yud speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master of the universe, Adon HaKol. Yud Kei Vav Kei speaks to HaYehov Yeh, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's transcendence. He's beyond time. So we're capturing, the Shulchan Aruch says, we capture both every time we say Shem Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Is beyond time. Time itself is a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way Ramban describes the time is HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he began to create the universe. He first created dimensionality, creates time and space, the box, so to speak, within which he proceeds to create the rest of the material of the universe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, outside that box. Outside is itself a spatial metaphor, but we think spatially because we have lived our entire life within that box. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu transcends all of that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of the entire universe. And we speak about Adon HaKol. In fact, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the universe. He's transcendent, Hayov Yeh, and he's imminent. The Adon HaKol. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's a lot to think about. So the Vilna Gaon makes it half as complicated. The Vilna Gaon says, no. The Vilna Gaon says, he thinks that all day long, whenever you say Hashem's name, it's just Aleph Dal Nun Yud. Just Aleph Dal Nun Yud. It's only Kriyat Shema which is special. Kriyat Shema, he says, look back at the Rabbi Shulchan Aruch's source. It's Rabbeinu Yonah in the Sefer HaYira. It describes the ideal day of a Jew. So he only mentions this notion of speaking about Haya Hova Yia in the context of Kriyat Shema. Now this sounds, where are we going? As I said, it's food for thought. Give you 2 points. Number one, what does it have to do with Parshas Shmos? And what does it have to do with us? What does it have to do with, how is it supposed to be practical? How does this bring us back to Yaakov Avinu? That last point maybe I'll leave for you to think about. But what does it have to do with, what does it have to do with Parshas Vayechi, and what this has, what's driving this machlokas? How do you eat it? How do you think about it? And what it has to do with Parshas Shmos, excuse me, not Vayechi, what it has to do with Parshas Shmos is in Parshas Shmos, although it don't seem like there are any demons, Kadosh Baruch Hu mentions to Gemara understands that Kadosh Baruch Hu mentions to Moshe Rabbeinu that my name is Yud Kei Vav Kei, and that's the way it's going to be written. But Zesh Shemila Olam Vezeh Zechrila Dar Dar, I have a name, but that's Le'alem, that's hidden, it's not mentioned. Vezeh Zechri, there's a different way in which I'm spoken, which I'm articulated, l'dor dor throughout the generations. The Gemara comments, lo kasher ani nikra, anichtav ani nikra. Because the pronunciation doesn't correspond to the way it's written. So it's nichtav yudke vavke, but nizkar nikra av dal nunya. So that's rooted, that notion, you could think of it as perhaps the most common creative in all of Chumash, in all of Tanakh, how many thousands of times does the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name appear? The Gemara says it's in, when you see Yudke Vavke, one of the first things you learn after you teach your alphabet, and say, that's one word that's non-phonetic. Right? That one word, you see that, you're not going to say, yeah, you're going to say, ado. So that din that you pronounce Hashem's name, Ado Shem, that's obviously a very common din. How does that bring us to this question about what the Kavana is? So a kernel of an idea, there's a Brisker Rav and a Tshuva of Moshe Feinstein that put the pieces together. It's the shortest Brisker Rav in the Sefer Rambam, near the beginning. Kedai to read. He himself only gives you the kernel of idea, doesn't give you the nafkaminas. He develops the idea that there are two ways of thinking. That din, which comes up all the time, how you pronounce Yom Hashem, points out there are two ways of thinking about it. Is it the way I just described it, or is it the way I just described it? In other words, is the way I just described it, it's a kriyat ksiv, there are two different words, and there's a din, whenever you write this one, you say that one's din. Are they two different words, or is it a non-phonetic pronunciation? Is it Torah Mechadish? There are two ways, usually, unlike English, Hebrew is pronounced phonetically, right? English words, we're so used to the fact that, right, if we're native English speakers, I assume most of us native English speakers, we're so used to the fact that GH is the way of pronouncing, is Ray writing F, right? There was a George Bernard Shaw, a great playwright from around 100 years ago. See, he didn't like English, but he had this idea he was going to reform English spelling. Never got around. His plays did, if you read Pygmalion, but he gave this example. I wish I had a board. G-H-O-T-I. English word. How do you pronounce that? G-H-O-T-I. He said, it's a common English word. You think about your head, you're like, what are you talking about? What language is that? Plug Google Translate, what language is that? G-H-O-T-I. He says, that spells fish. That's Dottie, that's not fish. He says, what do you mean? G-H is F, like rough, and O is I, like women, and T-I is sh, like action. He says, G-H-O-T-I, fish. Now, I was like, that's absurd. That was his way of demonstrating how absurd English spelling is. Okay. It is what it is. Historically, that's the way it is. But English spelling is often non-phonetic. Hebrew is always phonetic. Right? You read it, you look at it, you pronounce it. With maybe one exception. How you understand the fact that Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, we pronounce Alf, Dal, Nun, Yud. So Brisker Rav develops, gives us a kernel of idea, and Moshe Feinstein has a fascinating shuva about a drop of wax that fell on the Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei in the Sefer Torah. He says, is it that this is the one exception? It's an exception somehow, but what's the point of that din? Is the point of that din next week's parasha that it's a non-phonetic pronunciation? This is another way of pronouncing Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei as Ado. I really am reading Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. That's the way you say it. Or there are two different words and it's a built-in kriyuxit. There's a lot of nafkaminas. One nafkamina is Rav Moshe Feinstein's case. The drop of wax falls in Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. Peeling the wax off Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei is a complicated process because if I pull up ink, I'm being mochik shem Hashem. But maybe there's no problem. Do I have to look at Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei and say Ado? Well, if that's the pronunciation, yes. If it's kriyuxit, not the same word. I don't have to read myself like stop. Right? And there are a host of other nafkaminas, but for now, only one other, which is the one we mentioned before. The machlokas of Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon, when every time I say Hashem's name, which kavanas am I having? In other words, is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei pronounced Ado? So then I'm saying, right, that word has two meanings to it, but it's a single word. Or no, it's a kriyuxit. If you have to Vilna Gaon, it's a kriyuxit. Two different words. Whenever you read in Chumash, so you see Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but instead you say a different word. Interesting idea. And you can think about other, once you get started with that wax, a lot of other nafkaminas. You want to look up Moshe's Tshuva, look for that child about the drop of wax in the Sefer Torah. The other nafkaminas too. What it speaks to, perhaps in the larger sense, is let's take it home, Kriya Shema. See, Vilna Gaon says, normally, two different words. The Kavanas Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that's not the kavan of that word always. It's a special halacha in Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema specifically, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema calls for that kavana of Yud Kei Vav Kei, because that's what Kriya Shema is about. Is recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is transcendent, recognizing that that Kadosh Baruch Hu is above and beyond, that He encompasses the entire universe. And now let's take it home a little bit, because that means that Kriya Shema then sort of combines the two themes. That first pasuk is about Ayahobi Hashem, Hashem Lakei Hashem Echad. He's running the entire, that He's beyond the entire universe. But then the very next pasuk radically takes us to something incredibly intimate. Shem Lakei Hashem Echad, out there, beyond. Yahafsa Shem Lakecha is incredibly personal. That's like, whoa. One of the part of the magic of Yadis. I can have a personal connection that Kadosh Baruch Hu with a God who's beyond, transcendent, but also imminent. He's out there beyond encompassing everything, and He's also interested in a relationship with me. Hashem Baruch Ata Hashem. You're capturing that same sort of paradox. He's Elokeinu. He runs the world. He's my God, and He's also Melech Olam. And it's Hashem, as we said. Hashem may be a statement of transcendence. So sort of a Jew is trained to be able to encompass those two. There's a God who runs the entire universe, is beyond the entire universe, and at the same time is interested in me. And interested in me having a relationship with Him. Now, if you want to, you can think about, we're probably way over time already, you can think about how the ideas that come from Sefer Shmos might relate to this week's parasha, to the story of Yaakov Avinu. How many of these ideas of Lo Kemosh Ani Niftar Ani Nikra, how many of those relate back to, are reflected in the personal story of Yaakov and his children, which also, I said before, has these two layers. He's related to them as a father who's hoping that his children will be connected to what he's connected to. Too. Cosmic spiritual history. And if you want to, you can even think further, but to what extent do the differences and similarities between Vayikra and Shmos sort of capture the differences and similarities between Bereishis and Sefer Shmos? Bereishis is a setup for Shmos, clearly. At the same time, Bereishis is about the creation of universe in different senses. Shmos is already the more direct story of Am Yisrael. So think about that, it could be hopefully, this could be, as I said before, some food for thought, hopefully a kernel around which you can think fruitfully and productively.